Welcome to the Grant Writing Seminar with your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore on WGCR.us.
I'm Dr. Eurydice Moore, the grant writer for Safe Haven Community Skills Center, your host for this half hour, the Grant Writing Seminar Show. We are an alternative educational service provider. We provide affordable rates. We serve the local, national, and international communities. We provide grant writing workshops, grant writing services, and grant-related services. In addition, we provide workshops in case management, non-for-profit management, and faith-based counseling. We also provide a 6-week grant writing certification course for those that would like to become certified grant writers. You may contact me at 773-407-5372 for additional information. You may also visit me at thegrantwritermyspace.com or thegrantwriterproblematic.com. If you would like to be a co-host, guest, sponsor, or advertise on this show, you may contact me at 773-407-5372. On today, we have Dr. Israel, Open Your Mind to Healthy Living, who's the host, who airs every Sunday at 2 p.m., who is my mentor, who got me started in radio. Before we begin, I'd like to give a shout out. I'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Engineer, Mike, who always make us sound good, very helpful. I appreciate you, Mike. And to Mrs. Couture Israel, I thank God for you. I thank God that you are a confidence woman and that you are secured in your femininity and your marriage. And I thank God that you are my sister. And I'm here in the station with my brother, who's also my radio mentor. Now, on today, we're just going to go and flow. We have a number of things to talk about. On last week, I briefly mentioned employment versus self-employment, and I shared some information with you. And we're going to continue the conversation with some very good information that Dr. Israel like to share with you. We talk all the time, and I'm like, Dr. Israel, you got to come on the show and share this information with our listening audience. All right, Dr. Israel, hi.
Hello, Dr. Moore.
Okay,
so it's glad good to be here.
Wonderful. Okay, you want to get us started?
Oh, sure. I think on last week you were talking about entrepreneurship and the importance of starting your own business and, you know, different things like that. And, you know, I would like to talk today about the success formula, some things you can do, and talk about how we are traditionally trained in this world and why there's some of us that may not become entrepreneurs because there's a fear of becoming that, you know, we haven't necessarily been trained to, you know, really take on that type of responsibility. We've been trained to work for someone else and to work at a job because that is our security.
Yeah, that's a mold. That's a mindset. You have to, you kind of box in and you got to get out the box. That's one thing about being an entrepreneur. You have to be willing to take risks. You have to be willing to think beyond the box.
That's right. And when you mention risk, that is really the big item that you really have to think about. And it doesn't mean that you take a foolish risk.
Okay.
But it means that you're willing to step out there and do something that is a mystery. I mean, that's what life's all about, you know, solving mysteries, right?
Okay, so how can you determine whether you are taking a foolish risk or, you know, what you're doing is kind of rational, feasible?
Mm-hmm.
How can you discern?
Well, I think one of the things I wanted to talk about was some of the mistakes that entrepreneurs normally make.
Okay.
And so I can answer that question by saying the number one risk that people take that's a foolish risk is they go out and they start a business without knowing who their market is.
Okay.
Now, that's a risk that many of us take, but it's not a sound risk to take because you're going to spend all of your money starting your business, you know, going out and getting a place, That's overhead, buying equipment, and you haven't yet found out who you're going to have to come in as a customer.
Wow.
So that's an example of a risk that is not necessary for you to take.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of our listeners might be wondering, well, Dr. Moore, this is the grant writing seminar. Why have you been talking about self-employment, employment, entrepreneurship? Because many of my clients that come to me, they come to me and they say, I want a grant. And then I have to do an assessment and let them know. And I would say 80% of them was not ready for grants. I'll say it again. 80% of them was not ready for grants. Why? They were not ready for grants because they did not have a business. You mean to tell me a non-for-profit corporation is a business? Yes, it is. Even though it has the so-called phrase non-for-profit, it is still a business, right along with other corporations, whether domestic or foreign. They are all businesses. So in order to attain grants, you must have a business. And there are grants for non-for-profit, and there are also grants for for-profit, but the for-profit grants are more on the federal level. So, people, we got to get real. We cannot put the cart before the horse. You got to start by forming your own business. So, that's why we're hopping on this. Getting ready for business.
And, you know, sometimes we think about the difference between being employed and being in business. Sometimes those of us who start businesses and don't understand the difference, we, and it's in the word self-employed, we still have that employee mentality.
Ooh.
And that means that we're only thinking about segmenting, you know, one of the duties or one of the purposes of business, and thinking about only doing that job, and we need someone else to tell us what to do on in these other avenues. Because you have what in business? You have the administrative process in business. You have to do the paperwork and make sure that you know the numbers. You got to measure what you're doing. And traditionally, when you have a job, you know, you don't have to worry about that because there's someone else that's doing that for you, and all you have to worry about is your paycheck. Okay. But when you're in business, you not only have to do that, you have to worry about your inventory and making sure that you have something to sell people, whether it's a product or a service. And then, you know, you're responsible for measuring it. You're responsible for going out and selling it. You're responsible for all of this. So you have all of these hats. So it's not enough to have a skill or a profession. You have to put on that other hat, which is the marketing hat. You have to be able to go out there and market your business and sell your business, which marketing is about building relationships. And I think you mentioned it on your show before. If you are afraid of people, if you are not good with people, then your business is going to fail.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that brings you to the success formula that I wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the success formula is basically a formula that says human capital plus, or times social capital times reputation will bring you success. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what is human capital? Human capital is what you know and what you can do. And all of us have something that we can do, and we're all familiar with that. But what we are lacking in is building the social aspect part of it. The social capital is who you know and who knows you.
Mm.
So we have two things so far. We have know-how, and we have a network, okay, which are the people that are your contacts. And you want to build a relationship with those people. And so relationships are so very important. There are like four different types of relationships. And
four different types.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so if you have a relationship that is, we'll say, deal oriented and relationship oriented. Okay, that's at the top of a graph. If you draw it's like a plus sign on your sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top of that plus, you have deal oriented, and at the bottom, relationship oriented. And then on the right side, you would have deal oriented, and on the left side, relationship oriented. Mm-hmm. And the number one spot on the right side of your little graph that you've drawn, you have a spot market. And so what this is saying is that consider yourself on one end of that spectrum, and I'm on the other end of that spectrum. Then in our business, the only thing we want to do is sell each other something one time. That's the spot market. I don't really care about you.
Ooh.
You don't really care about me.
You're just about the money.
Right. You're just trying to make a sale.
Okay.
So that's the what you call the spot market.
Okay.
And your business over time is not going to do that well, because once I get what I want out of you, I'm going to forget about you.
Mm.
And then you're going to forget about me.
Wow.
And there's so many people out there that get into business that do it that way. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good relationship setup.
You want people coming back over and over and over, time and time again.
Right. And so the relationships there are short term.
Mm-hmm.
They're fleeting transactions. And
wow.
There's no history between the two. There's no expectation or commitment between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those type of relationships, it's going to fail.
Wow.
The second one is, if you go over to the left, it's a exploitation type relationship. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you might say, how is that exploitation? Well, if you look on one end, one person is trying to be in a relationship and the other person is trying to do a spot type, you know, spot type relationship.
Uh-huh.
So you want a relationship with me, in other words, and all I want to do is sell you something and I'm done. Okay. Pretty soon you will begin to feel like I'm exploiting you.
Being used.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's not going to last that long, because you're going to pull out, right?
Right.
After mm-hmm. a while, you're going to pull out.
Yeah.
But if you go into the next one, which is almost exactly like that, if you cross over from that and go down to a deal-oriented and a relationship, this is the other side. Now, I want a relationship with you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want one with me. And the same thing is going to happen that happens in the exploitation phase.
Okay.
But the partnership is the ideal. That's both of us trying to have a relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a partnership relationship, there's loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mutual benefit.
Trust.
And these relationships are sustainable and desirable.
And beneficial for everyone around.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is so enlightening. You have been listening to WGCR.us, the Grant Writing Seminar. Your hosts for today, Dr. Eurydice Moore and Dr. Israel. Children as they play.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. Let's see, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hello.
And as you know, he's African-American like you, so you can trust him.
And that's important, because here's the low monthly payment and interest rate you were promised, and here's where it triples. Plus, we buried a balloon payment in there, so you'll need another loan just to pay that off.
Another loan?
But we'll keep giving you loans.
Until we eventually take all the equity you had in your house, leaving you with absolutely nothing.
What? But don't worry. We're going to sell you credit life insurance.
Which puts a ton of cash in our pockets.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get up. You look nervous.
Ooh, we better hurry up and get you to sign. Or if you don't, I can pretend to ruin your credit with one phone call.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Your computer without WGCR.us.
Welcome back to the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore and Dr. Israel. Dr. Israel has been sharing tips on how to build your business. So he's going to take up from where he left off.
Okay, and we were talking about the relationship grid, and, you know, that's what it is. You had four different types of relationships, and that's very important in grant writing and, you know, any other business, because you mentioned on your show many times that... Don't take the money and run. Because then they're people too. They're going to feel that you're exploiting them, and it's not favorable.
Mm-hmm. In one show, I gave the 12 steps on how to say thank you to funders. You need to build relationship with funders so that they will fund you again. Right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everything is about building relationships, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your spouse. You know, all of this works in terms of building relationships with people, because... You know, you want to be in a relationship that's mutually beneficial.
Right.
And many of us forget that the law is about love, and love is about exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the reality of that whole situation, that you have to think about, I'm going to give, somebody's going to receive, mm-hmm. and then in turn, somebody's going to give, and I'm going to receive. And it may not happen with that
same person.
But it will happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are some things that I've been thinking about, you know, why a lot of us don't really gravitate to, you know, understanding how to do a business or, you know, how to create those relationships. And I think it all comes from this thing that I call a culture. And that's why I often talk about building a culture of wellness, mm-hmm. and defining wellness as health, fitness, and financial wellness, mm-hmm. okay? Because the financial wellness has to be there, because it's like the middle of that whole circle. Everything depends upon those finances. Mm-hmm. And whether it's being able to see the doctor, buy groceries, buy a car, buy a house, whatever else is in your life, it all revolves around those finances. So, mm-hmm. so being in business for yourself is about, for me, it's about being free. You know, freedom is very important to me. It was, there are a lot of things that I couldn't have done in my life if I hadn't been working for myself. You know, with my children, with my wife, with other people in the family. And they've often said that to me. I'm so glad that, you know, you were able to be around. I'm so glad that I was able to be with my mom, because, you know, my mom has passed on now.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the opportunity, you know, to do a lot of things with her. I have opportunity to do a lot of things with my father. My daughter, when she went to college, I had the opportunity to go out, take her out to University of Southern California, and then go get her and bring her home. And a lot of her friends were, I wish that my dad could do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It gives you time freedom. But the reason that, you know, we have... a lot of people who don't understand these problems is because of what we call the hidden curriculum in school. You know, when we go to school, we're basically trained to be a certain way all of our life unless we decide to make a change. I mean, we have to just, you know, make that decision to change instead of waiting on someone to make the change for us, because we're creatures of habit. And so I was reading this book by Jacqueline Jordan Irvine. It's called Black Students and School Failure. Mm-hmm. And she says that there are two ways of thinking. There's the cultural deficit perspective. Those educators thinks that school exists primarily to transmit a body of prescribed knowledge, values, skills, and norms that are essential for society. So they said that society is meritocratic. It means that it comes from that word merit, which means that anybody can do whatever they want to do, and I know you've heard that. You can do whatever you want to do in life.
Yeah, I heard that.
And all you have to do is just try. All you have to do is vision it and see it, and you can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then there's another perspective called the social-political perspective, where the schools are institutions that were historically designed and continue to operate in ways that maintain the social and economic stratification. And so this means that it's based on class. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we don't see. We don't see that we talk about lower class, middle class, and upper class, and that our schools are actually structured that way.
Oh,
so wow. when we go to school, most of our schools are working class schools, which means that the curriculum is set up, this hidden curriculum is set up so that we will be obedient. Mm. And it goes from your parents asking you to be obedient when you're growing up to the school expecting you to be obedient. And then finally, when you get to your job, what are you expected to do?
Obedient.
Be obedient. Okay? So you got your bell. You got to raise your hand when it's time to talk. You got to stand in line in single file or in a double line, and you got to be orderly. You can't express yourself.
Mm-mm.
No anger, no frustration.
Nah.
Or
you're a robot.
Attention deficit. Mm. This person, this person is out of order. And so that's one of the reasons that when we start talking about business to people who have been trained to do otherwise, it's very difficult to even think about doing that. So this hidden curriculum, we talked about the low-income or the lower-class or working-class children. And a good student is defined as a child who has learned to sit quietly at their desk, raise their hand before talking, wait patiently for the bell to ring before leaving their seats, stand in line in an orderly way, and while in school, repress the expression of anger and frustration.
Ooh, wow.
In the middle class schools, they have a little bit more leeway because they can be self-directed and creative. And the jobs that the middle class schools, which they ask you to give your opinion and you can come in, learn to, you know, come into a conversation in a certain way. They have started getting rid of the bells, okay?
And you can have an opinion.
Right.
You can express yourself.
That's right.
But in the other school, you are disorderly.
Right. Okay. And just think about it this way. When you went to school, as I, we were in a working class school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did you feel when you started college?
It was such a tremendous difference. You know, I can go to the class by myself. It was such a different, you know, a brand new world.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And no one made you do your homework, right?
Right. Nobody made me. I was on my own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so with those middle class children, you know, they are expected to become, you know, the managers in our jobs. And so you can see we're working class becomes the workers, the middle class become the managers, and then the affluent school, they become the owners.
Wow.
And that's where you're teaching us is how to become owners in our business, right?
Right. Oh, we got about a minute. Can you explain number three again? Number three.
Okay. And we're talking
the owners.
Okay.
What type of curriculum would they have?
Okay, well, they totally don't have any bells. They don't have all of the restrictions. The teachers are really nice. They never get upset with these young people because they know that they're these young people are the ones that's going to be the owners of businesses. They're going to run, mm-hmm. you know, the society.
Uh-huh. And be president.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Dr. Israel, I want to thank you for coming by, and I'm looking forward to future ventures together. And you have been listening to the Grant Writing Seminar on WGCR.us. Your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore and Dr. Israel. God bless. Godspeed. Godspeed.